Amen. Good evening. Greetings from Cape Town. It's indeed my privilege and my honor to be here tonight. I would like to thank Pastor Stephen Anderson, the church leadership, and everyone here for making this trip and everything possible and for inviting me to be here. I am honored to stand behind this pulpit because I know there's many, many people around the world that would love to have this opportunity. So I am grateful and thankful for the Lord. Let me just say that my mother tongue, my mother language is Afrikaans. So in our country, and I will always say it, we have airtime. If you buy 30 rand airtime, it lasts for so long. So it's the same with my English. When it gets up, it's up. But I thank God for my life. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for our congregation. And I thank God for the example that Pastor Anderson and this congregation and the influence that they have on our lives. When everybody rejected us and said, you're a hate preacher, you don't want to do anything, you're not preaching the truth, you're preaching a hateful, Pastor Stephen Anderson, Evangelist Segura, and the team came over and said, if they don't want you there, we will lift you up. Amen. We will be a part of it. And we walked the streets of Cape Town, and as true as they say throughout this conference, Baptist people can eat. And I really love you for that. I really love you for that because we can eat. We love nice food. So this evening, the title of my sermon, it's South Africa, Africa's Sodom and Gomorrah. So I know every time when I meet Pastor Stephen Anderson and I take a picture with him, I irritate the faggots in South Africa. Amen. They're hated. Because every time when I'm in America, every time when I'm with my brothers and sisters, they publish a story. And I really don't care how they feel about me. I am not in a popularity contest. I love my wife. I don't need them to like me. And God is good. That is the only thing that we need to know. I've heard through the conference that everyone concentrated on soul winning and going out soul winning and doing things for the Lord, and I'm glad for that. I also want to concentrate on it. But I've asked myself one question. Why is the countries that we are visiting doing soul winning, why are things so bad there sometimes? And it is because of wicked leaders. Government leaders. And many a times we tend to blame the citizens of the country for the state of the country, but we should actually blame government leaders. And this evening, I want to blame our government leaders, our current president, our previous Democratic president. I want to blame them for the state of South Africa. I want to blame them for abortions that taking place in South Africa. I want to blame them for inviting homosexuality or making it law for us to marry fags. I want to blame our government for the wickedness and the anarchy that is happening in our country. So I want to say this to you, as you in America will all also soon face an election, the same with South Africa. For many years, during the years of apartheid, we prayed because we wanted to be free from apartheid. And we prayed and we asked God to get the National Party government out of the government and parliament. And we prayed and we trusted God and we said, we cannot live like that. We cannot live under apartheid. Apartheid is bad. And it is. I am not a racist guy. I've never been a racist guy. But apartheid was bad. But with all the bad things of apartheid, when the ANC government took over from the National Party government, they found a well-functioning country. We had lights. Today, if you visit South Africa, you cannot, anyone who visits South Africa, you without lights for 2-3 hours, sometimes up to 6 hours a day because of load shedding. Crime is totally out of control because the minister that's in charge of taking care of the police, he's not doing his job. And sadly, at the end of the day, our people are suffering. And we've prayed and we've trusted God because for many years I come on in the ministry and in the work of God because I love the Lord. And we've prayed and the church really prayed. And then came 1994, 27th of March, we voted the ANC into power. What a mistake. What a disaster. And what a disgrace. We thought that here we have black people that saw black people suffering, and we thought that these people are going to make things better for us. We are worse. So as you know, South Africa is known for Nelson Mandela. Everyone knows Nelson Mandela. Everyone sings praises to Nelson Mandela and South Africa, except me, because I know he's a wicked leader. We know that he was in jail for 27 years, I think it's from 1962 to 1988, for political crimes, that they call it. He was a political prisoner and he fought against apartheid, and that is something that we cannot take away from him. He fought against apartheid. And there was a time when he went on an interview that said that the Nationalist Party government is stealing all the money and the poor doesn't get anything, or the blacks doesn't get anything. Guess what? ANC government in power, they steal all the money. They corrupt. Black people have nothing. They are worse. If you don't know someone with political influence, you know nothing. So let me just run briefly to this. In 1994, they were elected, and we had a democratic president. He went from a prisoner to a president. And my father, let me say this to you. My father was someone who loved to drink. And when I had a look at my father, when he didn't drink, he was the best dad that you can have under the sun. But once he had a drink, he was one of the worst people under the sun. I still respected him and I still love him for who he is, because he's my dad. But one thing that I promised myself, when I'm all grown up, I will never do what my father did. And today, my children has never seen a dad drunk. My children, I'm trying to give them the best in life because I've learned. And one would think that the ANC government, with Nelson Mandela in prison and with all the suffering that happened in South Africa, we could not walk into a white area, we could not do this, and we could. One would think that if we vote this government into power, they're going to take care of people. But they're only taking care of themselves till this day. They found under the president of South Africa, the current president, they found more than $400 million hidden under a mattress where you sleep on, in his house. But he say, we don't have money. And that is what frustrates everyone. So Nelson Mandela was the president who implemented abortions although he has died, still every year we have up to 100,000 unborn babies that are killed in South Africa. Nelson Mandela was the person or the president who said that a child as young as 12 years old can have legally sex. 12 years old. And he opened up clinics and said to the clinics that children can go into a clinic and get contraception without parents knowing. And all hospitals or government hospitals in South Africa is compelled to do abortions. So on the one hand, he told them go and have sex. On the other hand, he provided them a space where they can abort children. And it's happening till this day. He was a hero to this world because they didn't know what he did. Or they knew what he did, but they just ignored it. He was a wicked leader. He introduced ungodly laws. He took out prayers from schools. When I went to school, we started off with prayer, and we ended off with prayer. He took it out of school. He took it out of parliament. He took Bibles out of hospitals because we used to have Bibles that were in hospital that was taken out of hospitals. And thanks to the late Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela, we are still killing 100,000 unborn babies. So if you think that South Africa is a place to be, it's under wicked leadership. And yes, the question is South Africa reception for the gospel? Yes. Because remember, we grew up serving the Lord. We grew up in the church. We knew all these things. So when you speak to a South African, eight out of 10 South Africans, you will win, will get saved, because they are receptive. Amen. The problem that we are sitting with is not the fact that people are receptive, it's that we have leadership that cannot do its work. Leadership in government that are failing our people. They give social grants unto parents who have children, and that doesn't work. That is about, I estimate, about $30 per month. Politicians walk home with around about $1,000 a day. So, thanks to Mandela, and I will say it again, he was a Nobel Prize winner. And I say, and it is my word, he was a Nobel Prize winner for killing all the babies till today. And Pastor, how can you speak like this? This guy was a national hero. He was your hero, but my zero. Right. He meant nothing to me. And then we had the fag lover, Desmond Tutu, the Anglican bishop. When he died, I think 2 years ago, everyone sang praises unto Desmond Tutu. He was wicked as well. His own daughter got married to another woman. And when everyone said, yeah, he's rejoicing in heaven, he was the clown who said that he will rather go to hell or to the other place, as he called it, than share heaven with a homophobic God. And when he died, I said, well, roast in hell. Amen. Wish is granted. Amen. You see, wish is granted, roast in hell. And then again, the newspapers, oh, that's hate preacher, oh God. He said he was going to go to hell. It's not me. He called the God that I serve a homophobic God. It's not me. So enjoy your roasting in hell. How can you say that? He was a Nobel Prize winner, another Nobel Prize winner, for doing what? For telling people, he must spoke like this. My dear beloved brothers and sisters, you know, God loves everyone. It doesn't care whether you are black and white, whether you are gay or you play, as long as you go to hell. Go to hell and stay in there where you are today. You see, so South Africa turned from a God-fearing country into the one of the most wicked countries on the African continent. Apartheid can never, ever be justified, but South African citizens today, they are worse off than ever. Yeah, but Pastor, won't you be in trouble for saying this? I'm preaching. And they don't want to hear that they are wicked. They don't, how can you allow a 12-year-old girl? That girl cannot even wipe her behind properly. How can you allow a 12-year-old girl to go and sleep with her? Now, you know what is the result of this? This is what's happening. There's a lot of people with AIDS. And now they go to the witch doctor. And the witch doctor tell them the only way for you. Now, there is no cure for stupidity. So there's a lot of stupids in South Africa. So the only cure or the only way that you are going to be cured from AIDS if you have sex with a virgin. As a result of that, we have babies that are being raped in South Africa. They don't tell that to the world. They invite you, come to Africa. Africa is the most beautiful. Africa is the most wicked country on the African continent. And I'm not afraid to say it. Someone needs to say it. Our government is stealing from the poorest of the poor. South Africans know that the government is wicked as hell. South Africans, citizens, they know that the government is wicked as hell, but yet they vote these clowns into government again. Because come elections time, they walk around with hampers, give people food, say vote for the ANC, vote for them, do this for the ANC. And once they're in office again, you no longer see them. Every day in South Africa, mothers are picking up the bodies of their children because the government cannot take care. And every day we have people who are raped, murdered, butchered in South Africa. People don't want to know that because they're saying, no, this is a beautiful country. No. And remember, let me go back to where I started. We prayed for this government, and so we have this government. Now we have to deal with them. We voted them into government and we can't vote them out. But they don't want to do it. So I want to say to the Americans, be careful who you pray to be in office of your government. You are voting in wicked people into your government. And then when they don't do what you want them to do or pay them to do, you want to complain. I say to our people, vote the clowns out of parliament. Clowns belong in a circus. So South Africans know that. In Africa, people vote for your skin color. Because they feel that the white man has done such a lot. The white man in the apartheid year did more good than what the South African government is doing today. They received a well-functioning country, and I'm going into the message now. I just need to explain to you what I need to. They received a well-functioning. We had railways, no longer. In certain parts of our country, there's no water. Our entire country suffers through blackouts. They call it load shedding. But every politician in South Africa has a generator, because when his electricity goes off, they have power because they are in high profile offices. So we need to know. We don't vote for people because they are black, white, or whatever their color is. We need to vote for people because they are righteous. They love the Lord. I said, I don't vote for any political party that promotes homosexuality. I don't vote for any political party that promotes abortions. I don't do it. I don't do it. Whether they like me or not. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, they said that the princes, or the princes, speaking of the leaders, are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts. That is the ANC. Everyone that comes to the country bring them gifts. The Chinese brought them gifts, and there are certain parts of that Africa that look like little China, because they come with a business there. And today you buy something from them, tomorrow you need to return it. They understand you today when you go there. They, what do you want? Yeah, man, we got that thing, tomorrow you bring it back there. They don't understand what you're saying. So wicked leaders, in my opinion, they are worse than animals. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care about the poor of the country. The poor has become victims of wicked leaders. If someone can rape a baby at a week, 3 months old, because someone else told you that if you rape a virgin, you're going to be cured of AIDS, then you can imagine the state that we are in. But they don't want to admit it. Our children, our women are being murdered, butchered. Gender-based violence, that is what we have in South Africa. That is purely because our wicked leaders are rebellious, and they are companions with thieves, according to Proverbs 29, verse 2. And as I said, wicked leaders are worse than animals. Just imagine your 12-year-old come to you and say, Daddy, I want to be sexually active. I have a boyfriend, he's 19, 20 years old, and I want to go stay with him. What a state. How can we allow it? An American government giving them money. They are actually being paid to do all these things. Friends, they spend billions of rands on butchering babies. But they pay poor social grants between $35 and $80 per month. Who can survive with $80 a month? I cannot survive with it. Friends, the word of the Lord says in Proverbs 28, verse 15, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over poor people. They are there to devour us. They are there. If you pray for South Africa, don't pray and ask God, let us send more soul winners in. Ask God to change the leadership of the country. We need godly leadership. We need people that loves the Lord and said, enough is enough. The Bible says in Isaiah 123 that, I've been there. Scripture that I... That we read in Isaiah 5 said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. Just imagine. If you dare to speak to them and tell them that you're doing wrong, you are wrong. And today, I would love to encourage our people. Whenever you see something is wrong, if you are silent on a matter, you agree with it. You need to open up your mouth and say, no, this is not what I want. I'm a child of God. I need to do the things of God. I am not going to allow this. Many people say, oh, but I mind my own business. It's none of my business. If I see that someone takes my daughter into the bush, it's none of my business. No, it is your business. It is your business. You need to go there. But because we are sitting back and we are scared what the government and police is going to say, someone needs to speak out. And I said to myself that I was going to speak out. Proverbs 17:15 says the following: he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination unto the Lord. So in other words, if you justify what's happening in a wicked country, you are an abomination. You see, our people don't want to hear that. Our people don't want to hear that because they want you to sing, Jesus love the little children. No, stop singing this thing. Tell these people what they are doing wrong. I mean, where are the days when I can allow my child to be at your home and not worry about it? Now you cannot do that. Gone is the days where boys can have sleepovers because the boys want to sleep with one another in your bed. Gone are those days. And today, and there are parents that are justifying this. Parents that are saying this is right. How can it be right? How do you allow your own child to enter your house with a fag on his hand and allow them to sleep in your house? No wonder we are cursed. Parents are justifying these wicked things. Before the 2794, we had a South African that was God-fearing. People that went to church. We prayed and we asked God to stop apartheid. Apartheid, as I said, was bad. But living in South Africa today, as a South African citizen, I can do so winning anytime. It is dangerous. You need to watch out for the gangsters. You need to watch out for crime. But I can go into areas and preach the gospel. Amen. I can do what God wants me to do. South Africa, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, is in a permanent state of decay. Things go from bad to worse. They will persecute like they did to me, a man of God, for preaching the word of God because they hate God. They spend hundreds and thousands of rands, and I can almost say dollars, of taxpayers' money. The South African Human Rights Commission, that is supposed to defend all South Africans, they spend hundreds of thousands of rands to hire top law firms to try to get me into prison. That is what I'm going through. Just in August, I think it's in August or September, I was in court again. What is my crime? Rape? No. Murder? No. Stealing? No. Doing something bad? No. My crime was preaching the Bible, telling a faggot that you are going to hell. They don't want to hear that. That was my crime. They spend hundreds of thousands of rands, and legal cost in South Africa, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. They spend all this money while millions of South African children is going to bed hungry every night. They will want to get a man of God into prison. I had to spend money that I don't have. Money, I had to sell some of my stuff. I thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ that some of them came together and helped me to try and fight these wicked people. Just imagine you standing in a court of law. You didn't do anything wrong but preach the Bible. And you are treated as if you are a piece of scum. They sit with a team of lawyers. I have one lawyer. They sit with a team of lawyers. They said to me, my lawyer spoke to one of the attorneys there and he said, this is what I want and this is what we want to do. The attorney said, no, we want him to go to prison. That's the only way that he's going to learn. You think so? You really think so? You really think I'm going to learn by you putting me in prison? There's people in prison that I can preach for. You see, my family has become victim. My life has been threatened, Brother Daniel. I came out one day and my tires were slashed off my car. I went and I was insulted. My family was insulted. I asked the South African Human Rights Commission to do something about it. Till this day, they said something. They responded to my request because they don't care. They don't care about God-fearing people. And the saddest part of it all, that the commissioner, the chair, the commissioner of the South African Human Rights Commission is a reverend. He belongs to one of these traditional churches. And about a month ago, ironically, his aunt was in church with me. And his family goes to church with me and his aunt passed away. And I had to do the funeral. And he came to me and he said, well, it's not that I'm angry at you, but we must sit down and we must address the way that you speak about homosexuals. You show them no love. Why should I show them love?
Right.
You show them no compassion because God has created them. Yeah. Then I said, yeah, God created them, man and woman. They are so stupid. No cure for stupidity. They believe that God created them in that way. But they were burned that way. There's no way that God created them way. Let me tell you of my challenges and then I'm going to run quickly through some scriptures. My challenges that I had was, I had one advocate. I went to many law firms. People refused to help me. They said, we cannot help you because our clients are fags. No, they said it to me. If we help you, we're going to lose our business. And I had a friend who recommended me to this advocate. And he tried his best. I still owe him a lot of money. I still owe him. I don't owe him the money. But the legal costs and the things that happen. I came to that point where I said to myself, Lord, what happened must happen, but I'm not going to stop preaching the word of God.
Amen.
What happened must happen. Because what happens is a lot of people, they look at you and they think that it's easy. It's not easy. It's not easy for your wife to go to work. My wife works as a nurse. And there's where you find a lot of fags because every homosexual wants to be a nurse, especially the males. And they're giving a problem. I've just landed here now the other day. Newspaper article that the same homosexuals is now drawing up a petition and going to take it to court to try and get the court to jail me. What do? We just continue on. There's one word that I love to say. It's push. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying. Don't stop. Our country's cursed every day, like I said, mothers picking up bodies of their children killed in gang violence, drug robberies, cash in transit heists daily. The government and the South African Human Rights Commission will put a man of God on trial for preaching the Bible while the country is being held hostage by criminals. The Bible says in Jeremiah 22:13, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor serveth without wages and giveth him not for his work. And that is what our government do. They build the country on unrighteousness. You can come to South Africa. We're not just going to make a noise if you come in, like we did now with the team that is in the Western Cape. I don't want to mention where they are. It's a team from the US, some people from Europe that came, that's currently in South Africa. Through the grace of God, I managed to send 10 of our people to go do soul winning with them. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we kept it quiet because it's going to be the same if the year it's from the new IFB, they are going to block the borders. So I said, I even spoke to the brother that's part of the team. I said to him, don't advertise this thing, because as soon as the year Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, they get irritated. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope, as in within meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. They falsely accuse me. You know what they did one day? They took two dudes now and they photoshopped my picture to make it look like I am officiating this queer marriage. My good Lord. When the government told me, yeah, but it's in the Constitution, and I said, you can have your marriage book back. I don't want your marriage license. But I'm not going to marry a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. I will not do it. I refuse. And I will say it in public. I refuse to marry any homosexual. So I want to warn the governments of this world. You are deceived if you think that God agrees with all the wickedness and evil. Whatever you sow, you will definitely reap. You will definitely reap. I'm telling you, you will reap it through the wrath of God. Never in our country did we suffer droughts, but we suffer droughts now in our democracy. Never. And when I said, it's because they are wicked, the newspaper said, he's blaming the homosexuals again. When you do something that is unrighteous, you have the curse of God upon your life. Someone asked, Where does he get all the money to travel all the time? Let me be honest with you. Sometimes I don't know. But God. Amen. But God. Amen. I had this one lady, she called me. She said to me, Pastor, you're going through such a lot of stress. You want to go to the Red Hat Preaching Conference that was last year? I said, yes. She said, well, I will pay it for you. And there I got there. I called Pastor Jermaine, Roger, and I said, I want to come. He said, you're more than welcome to come. So I want to warn this government. God is definitely not satisfied with all the wickedness that's happening in our country. Galatians 6:7 said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you a man soweth, he shall reap. You can have a million fags in this building. They had to come out of a womb of a mother. They had to come out of a womb of a mother. You can do whatever you want. So if you say that God created you the way that you are totally confused. Friends, I love Proverbs 10 and Proverbs 11. Give a clear description of wicked and sinful leaders. Evil, wicked leaders equals sinful leaders. Proverbs 10:16 says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. They want to sin. Friend, evil leaders, according to scripture, have no sense. They are stupid. It's not because they cannot hear you. It's because they suffer from stupidity. And scientists didn't work out a cure for stupidity yet. Because if a government official tells you, if we are two guys standing together and I introduce another guy as my wife, and then the government official says, hello, Mrs. My good Lord. Last year in November month, I appeared on a TV show and I ripped through the gaze and I spoke and I said that they are confused. And the one gay guy stood up, full of beard, and, well, who the hell give you the right to say that I am not confused? I looked at him and I said to him the following words, you know what? You are totally confused. What do you mean? You're confused. Because look there. You look like your father, but you want to pee like your mother. Amen. You confuse.
Right.
And that thing went viral. It went viral. And they wanted to persecute me for that as well. So, well, it is the truth. You want to look like your father, but you want to pee like your mother. Stop it. Go stand and pee.
Amen.
So evil leaders, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, they have no sense, they are stupid, and there's no cure yet to help them, so they are rejected because they're stupid. The Proverbs 10:21 said that the lips of the righteous feeds many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The Bible called them fools. They are fools. Friends, although these wicked leaders want to give us the impression that they are in charge, but they're actually a bunch of sissies. They're scared of God.
Right.
They are scared of the wrath of God. That is why the government leaders on top will never come down and face you and say to you, I don't believe in God, I don't do that. They will always send a chihuahua to tell you what you're doing is wrong. Friends, The Bible says here, Proverbs 10:24, that the fear of the wicked and shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Walk in righteousness, talk in righteousness, and God will give the desires of your heart. Evil leaders, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, have shorter lives. In fact, they live a short, miserable life. Proverbs 10:29 says that evil leaders are stupid leaders. They won't open their mouth, and whatever they say is just foolishness. How can a president of the country stand up and say, we need to be more tolerant of people of other sexual orientations? God created them male and female. There's no other sexual orientation unless you're a pervert. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. And may God cut out all the fag's tongue. Evil leaders will not escape the wrath of God, although it looks like they are winning. They have all the riches. We know only God is the answer. You can be filthy rich, but when you die one day, you cannot take it with you. You're as broke as a poor man. They can put you in the most expensive casket, but you're dead. You don't even know it. It is only our faith in God that can deliver us from hell. Proverbs 11:4 says that the riches, I'm almost done, the riches profit not in the day of wrath, but the righteous delivereth from the death. Amen. Try to live righteously. Try to do things that God wants us to do. It's not always nice to stand and know that there's a chance. If I go to court today, there is a chance that I'm not coming home. I woke up 5 o'clock in the morning. My wife is in the lounge and she's kneeling in front of a chair and she's crying and saying, Lord, you cannot go to jail. Cannot go to prison. The judge said, by law, what you did, I cannot agree with it. But he says to the attorneys of the South African Human Rights Commission, this man is not going to jail. Amen. God Amen. Knows the righteous. Amen. This man is not going to jail. They are angry. If you read the newspapers, they are angry because they expected the court to lock me up. Weak leaders, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, they fail because they are wicked. And the saddest thing of it all, their victims, people that are gullible, they are the one who fails with them. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:5, he says that the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. How many times did we tell people that if you sleep with another man, you're going to get sick? You're going to get AIDS. They are dying in Africa because of AIDS, but yet they are continuing with the filth. And sad, these church leaders don't want to do anything about it. Wicked leaders are held hostage by their lustful desires. Proverbs 11:6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Lastly, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, we have hope. There is hope. These wicked, I'm so sorry to say it. Lastly, there is no hope for the wicked leaders of this world. You see, once you have money and you're wicked, you're going to stay wicked. Because you live like you need no one else. You and I, friends, even in this church, make sure that we associate ourselves with strong leaders, righteous leaders. Leaders that's not afraid to say, I will stand for God. A leader that will say, no, we do not allow heretics in this church. No, we do not allow fags in this church. Yes, I fell in love with Faithful Word Baptist. You know why? Because of all these children in church. And if I have a look at these children, this church has a bright future. You see, as long as the leaders are righteous and doing the will of God, there is hope. There is hope. Proverbs 17, my last scripture, Proverbs 11 verse 7 said, when a wicked man dieth, his expectations shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man perishes. Perish means to go to, I can't explain it in Afrikaans, but something that gets rotten, that goes backwards. If you take an apple, you put it, and it starts to get rotten. And friends, let us as a church, let us as people of the church, start to stand behind our righteous leaders. Stop the gossiping. Amen. I said in Pastor at Verity Baptist Church, and I will say it here again. There is only one thing that I don't like of the IFB. And not of the leadership, but of some of the members. Not all of them. As whenever they have a fight, they take it to Facebook. They take it to Facebook. And I've read nasty things that is said about leaders on Facebook. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We are a handful. Let us stand behind these leaders. Let us thank God you have the opportunity to go anywhere and do soul winning. We have to do soul winning and duck and dive for bullets. There's Brother Segura, he can testify to the fact that one day we did some soul winning in Cape Town. And while we were busy with soul winning here, they were busy robbing a guy over there. So we need to be very careful whenever we go out. But let me encourage each and every person here. Let us not only look at the wickedness of a country, but let us look at the wickedness of leaders. We need better leaders. We need better governments. And I know this church and people in this church, I've heard it already. They say, no, we don't go, we won't go vote, we won't do this. We need to make a difference. Yeah. We cannot, like a turtle, go into our shell and say, it's none of my business. It is your business. It is your business. America is full of rapists. It is your business. It is your business. You see, friends, let us stand behind righteous leaders of this movement. Let us stand behind the leaders of this specific church and every IFB church. I salute Pastor Shelley for the way that he's fighting. Pastor Stephen Anderson told us now the other day at lunch that Pastor Shelley and I, we have a competition who's more in court, him or I. But I love it. I love it. Friends, may the Lord bless you and may God keep you. And rally behind righteousness. Rally behind good leadership. Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. We thank you for this awesome, awesome conference. Father, as we are about to end of this conference, I pray, O Lord, that some of us, we could have learned, O Lord, something about this conference. Father, make us members that will rally behind our leaders, love our leaders and respect our leaders, because many a times the members doesn't know what leaders go through. And I pray, O Lord, for strong leadership in the IFB movement. I pray for righteous leadership in the IFB movement. Father, I pray that you bless us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.